deaf to the fact that they can't keep everything within the industry. So when they go out and they hire a CIO to help them assist them in bringing more sustainability to their business models, they're hiring people in the fashion industry, and sometimes they have to get out to other industries to really be able to understand what it is that they have to do to really create change and to really lessen carbon emission and everything else.
Welcome back to another episode of Who's Saving the Planet? Lex Kiefhaber here, and I will be your host. On the podcast today, we have an author, a serial entrepreneur, a senior executive, and the co-founder of the Fashionovation platform. Now, I definitely need to be transparent in this that I am personally a big fan of our guest today, and her name is Jordana. I was first introduced to her when the company that I work at, United by Zero, pitched Jordana during their pitch competition. And from that, I got to learn about her and her story, and I was so fascinated by it. She grew up in Rio de Janeiro, but her story goes through New York to Miami and all over the world. So in our conversation today, we talk about the many things that Jordana has done throughout the course of her journey, but also how they focused around a central theme of helping the people that she comes in contact with in many different ways, whether it's through promoting the sustainable development goals through Fashionovation or through her work as an author with her book that is dedicated to helping to humanize something that we see every day, homelessness, and really how resilience is so important for being an entrepreneur in the world. Things never go as expected. And being able to have a guiding vision and to be persistent is sometimes the most important element of success. So this is our conversation today with the co-founder of Fashionovation, Jordana.
Welcome back to another episode of Who's Saving the Planet. We have on the podcast today an author, an entrepreneur, a fashionista, a self-made woman, just all of the things wrapped into one. Jordana, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm thrilled to have you here because I got a chance to actually meet you in real life. And you're one of like the few people over the last 18 months that I've gotten to actually share a drink with in the real New York City.
Yeah, that was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And we got a chance to dig into so much, but I want to start with the project that you've really developed over the last couple of years and dig into what that is and how that's supporting the notion that we need to change one of our largest and sort of hardest to move industries, which is fashion. So tell us a little bit about Fashionovation.
So Fashionovation is a global platform where we focus on bringing innovations and technologies to CEOs and founders globally in the fashion industry, really to help develop more sustainability within their supply chain. So that's in a nutshell what it is. And we started off just with events to build community, but now it's really become a lot more than that, where it's a lot of content, a lot of education, a lot of matchmaking, the events persist, but it really just is to keep building this community around innovation and tech towards sustainability for fashion.
And you've been able to get some of the most legendary names in the fashion industry to come and participate with this, right?
Yeah. It's been super exciting. It's such a big list, but we've had Rebecca Minkoff, Kenneth Cole, Steve Madden, Diane von Furstenberg, Mara Hoffman, Norma Kamali, Nicole Miller, like the names that a lot of people recognize internationally have spoken in our platform. And then aside from the very big names, we've also brought the startups and the scale-ups to be on the same stage, because it's really important when you're speaking about the future of fashion for both of them to be involved in the conversation, the enterprise and the startup, if we're really going to move forward in the right direction in our vision.
So usually it would take decades to get names of that caliber on the stage. You know, starting with the startups is something that I know a fair much about, because we got to hustle like nobody's business when you're a startup. But the Diane von Furstenbergs and Steve Maddens of the world, how were you able to pitch this to them to get them to come give their time and their energy to this, which is only a couple of years old? It didn't exist in 2016. So how are you able to grow that so quickly?
I think, you know, it's so funny, but recently, like a few days ago, actually, I heard of a gentleman that had listened to some of his talks called Simon Sinek. I never knew of him. Somehow I missed him in my life, but now that I know him, I will follow him much more. But he talked about, you know, how for a company to be successful, he was actually pairing IBM and Apple and saying that the reason Apple sells so much more than IBM when it comes to, you know, the same product that they sometimes deliver is because they start with the why. Why are they doing what they're doing? And I think we have been really strong in doing that, not even knowing that that was a thing that you're supposed to do. But for us, we're really, even though we're for profit, we're very mission driven in terms of wanting to democratize the industry. And I think we really have approached the Diane von Furstenberg and Steve Maddens of the world in a way where it was a very person-to-person, human-to-human relation approach. And I think because they're so massive and they're so big in their name and their persona, and they're probably used to getting approached by these huge enterprises, but they have like an agenda for them and it's very corporate and they have to act or talk or speak about something certain that they want them to speak about. We're very open and saying, look, we want to change the industry for the better. We want to bring everyone to be a part of the conversation. And I feel like you can inspire the world. This is what we're trying to do at the end of the day. Do you want to come on board? And they all said yes very quickly, actually, in terms of, like you said, we're only 3.5 years old. But I think it's, again, like when you're leading with purpose, I think people follow, regardless of how big they are. And so that's what I think, honestly, like if I have to guess, I'd say that that's the secret sauce to what we've done.
The fashion industry is a notorious historical offender in terms of human rights abuses, in terms of the waste that is produced, the amount of carbon emissions. This is something that we think a lot, both at You're Saving the Planet and also United by Zero, about how to change that industry. How have you been able to bring together these different constituencies between the legendary names in the business that we were talking about, the more up startup brands that are really like sustainably born or like, you know, created out of this ethos of let's make things better, and the technology that can actually bridge that gap between a smaller company that can move much more quickly and the really big companies that have so much of a greater effect on the planet and the ecosystem, they take a lot more time to change those things. So like, how have you been able to bring those together to really see that change affecting the fashion industry?
I think there's a lot of issues in the fashion industry. Even though we think that we're, you know, getting better, we're like, I don't know, my vision, we're like 5% there. And I think it's because we're all waiting for this like big change, right? All at once, like for it that to happen. And I think that's not realistic. I think like we have to, you know, when we take a lot of these big brands, that it does take a lot of times for them to adopt a new technology to really create change. Every brand, you know, unless it's like just fast fashion, just to profit, and like, luckily we're getting rid of a lot of those, but like every brand, when it comes to like the traditional brands that a lot of us admire and like we buy and et cetera, they all have something that's good that they're doing within their organization. So for example, Diane von Furstenberg, she's not sustainable in terms of like fibers and all of that, but she does empower women. She's always been, you know, really kind of like an advocate for like, you know, treat like company culture, people that work in her business. Like I've met a lot of them. Like you see that there's a lot of respect both internally and externally in the way that she portrays herself as a woman, and her stuff is like timeless. So you buy a piece, you're not going to get rid of it right away. So there are things that we can take from that and say, okay, like, you know, there's a lot of things that she does, depending on what your definition of sustainability is. You can kind of say, okay, parts of what she does can be looked at as sustainable because everyone has a different definition to it. So what we do is first, we're, you know, in partnership with the United Nations Office for Partnerships. So the SDGs, we take those and we always, you know, we educate all of our speakers and their teams what it is that the SDGs stand for, how it is that they can do better, what they're already doing that maybe can be looked at as one of the goals, how they can push that forward to really make it one of the goals. Like, I think it all starts with that. And then the startups, of course, a lot of them, you know, because they're so small, they're born into sustainability, or they're able to do that much easier in terms of adopting and being able to, you know, get that going. But I would say, I mean, I don't know, it's a long-winded answer to your question. I'm trying to figure out how to explain it, but I think we're just really big in championing the very small efforts that can lead to big change. And I think that's how, you know, that's kind of how we approach it, if that makes sense.
There's always two things that stand in conflict with one another. And I totally know you're coming with this. One is, first of all, SDGs are the Sustainable Development Goals that have been established by the United Nations, and included in those are things like end poverty and zero hunger and good health and well-being and gender equality. So when you say sustainability can mean many things, that is very true, right? It is not as just a calculation of the amount of carbon emissions. However, that is definitely a big part of it. And so the two things that stand perhaps in contradiction, but certainly in like some tension together, and I definitely feel this, is this sense of like every incremental change matters, yeah, right? And if you start that ball moving, that is important. But on the other hand, we have so much change that needs to happen so quickly. Otherwise, the math doesn't add up. Yeah. You know, so it's like we also need to just reduce the amount of greenhouse gases that we are pumping into the atmosphere. And that's not, that is unapologetic. That math is not something that has a sentimentality to it. It is a very sort of rigid calculation. Now, I know you've done a ton of work both domestically here, but also internationally. And you said that you were working with the UN. How are you bringing this perspective to more of a global audience?
So we've helped the UN in a lot of ways. United Nations Office for Partnerships, to be exact. But we have, one, allowed them to have our platform to speak on, to really give the message globally to the fashion industry in terms of, depending on when the event took place, depending on what the agenda was at that time, we gave them that platform, the stage. Another thing is we've just been approached recently by COP15's team. They actually wanted us to go to West Africa this May, because fashion as an industry has never been represented at COP15, which is kind of mind-blowing considering land, soil, a lot of things that really have so much to do with everything that we're speaking about. So we have started, you know, kind of conversation. May was unfortunately too like short notice in terms of us having like the budget to be able to make happen what they needed, because you know, it's something that we wanted to do as a company. But we are now, because we know that this is their goal, we're going to start working with them in terms of bringing the right personas in fashion to be a part of those conversations with ministers around the world. And then we've also brought a lot of really big names to become ambassadors of the United Nations to push out the SDGs to their communities within their platforms and what it is that they do in the industry. So those are the ways that we've worked with them. I'm trying to think like, yeah. And again, it's really just, always trying, you know, even within our own content on our platform, if we're speaking about a brand, always trying to figure out, again, what goal could this pertain to? How could it, you know, become that much more of whatever that goal is? And always just trying to push it forward, you know, to anybody and everybody that we speak with. Because I think what you just said is so true. Like, yes, we don't have that much time, but here's the problem. I think the industry sometimes is like this, right? Eyes closed, ears shut, because I don't understand sometimes what happens, because they're in these like huge events that are closed off for people to watch, unless there's somebody that's invited or someone that's a big name. They're speaking to each other. And the industry sometimes is so deaf to the fact that they can't keep everything within the industry. So when they go out and they hire a CIO to help them assist them in bringing more sustainability to their business models, they're hiring people in the fashion industry. And sometimes they have to get out to other industries to really be able to understand what it is that they have to do to really create change and to really lessen carbon emission and everything else. And so I think there's a lot of issue in like, I don't know how to say it. It's frustrating because I feel like we're already now kind of like, okay, sustainability has been a spoken about word for a while, that China's kind of going away. Let's now focus on metaverse and the NFTs. But I'm like, wait, we haven't done anything with the sustainability aspect of things yet. You know, I feel like the industry is always like taking on to these like keywords that become this buzzword. They forget about whatever it is that they were working with, you know, originally to begin with, and they're already onto something new. And they're always, it's like this, it almost feels like it's like a, like, it's like, you know, follow the leader, like everyone is just following, like, but not asking questions, you know. I don't know, it's a frustrating thing.
The fashion industry, I mean, it's always been predicated on what's next, right? There's that sense of style is always evolving. But when it comes to climate change, we can't treat that as a fad.
Exactly.
It's not something that is like season, well, pun not intended. It certainly is seasonal in terms of how it's affecting us, but like it's not going away. And the minute we lose focus on that for something else is time lost. And exactly. So redirecting that focus back to this issue of we have one planet on which to live and continuing to have that be part of the conversation is hard. You know, it's hard to get people to pay attention to something that is perhaps not the new sexy thing, but is nonetheless the very important right? one.
Because you're like the end of the world. Like I pay attention to that.
Right. One more thing.
I want my daughter to live in this world as long as, you know, like, it doesn't make, yeah, it's a very frustrating industry in a lot of ways. I'm not saying that nothing is being done. There is change, but it's not enough change. Like you said, we don't have that much time. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of times people think that it's such a huge change that has to happen for them to be able to get in the right train. But again, it's incremental steps, like you said, you know, and it's just, I don't know, sometimes, I don't know, it's a big conversation.
Well, it's not going to be solved without at least continuing to confront it forthright, you know? And so like continuing to bring that up and to force that issue is certainly at least like the necessary first step. I want to change gears a little bit because you've been working on this idea of creating relevancy for, you know, how to improve human condition or be empathetic in the world in lots of ways, not the least of which is the book that you authored that focuses on this in a completely different lens and topic. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, no, thank you. And the book is, I'm very like passionate about it. So it's titled, It Can Be You, Humanizing Homelessness. And it's really, I feel like looking at it, everything I do is to humanize, right? Humanizing the fashion industry, humanizing homelessness, because at the end of the day, I think sometimes we look so hard for an answer, but it's sometimes it's just in like being around each other, being in unity, being compassionate, having empathy, like that all goes such a long way. And sometimes it's forgotten because people think that there has to be more. It can't be that simple, but sometimes it really is. And I think with homelessness, you know, it's something that, I mean, we're all like guilty of judging something at some point in our lives, right? Just that's what human beings do. But I think the homeless in particular, there's such a stigma around it. And I think because there's such a stigma around it, I think that they don't want to help because they think, oh, if I give this person, you know, money, they're going to go and buy drugs. If I give this person money, they're going to buy alcohol. They're lazy, they could get a job. But it's so much more than that. So I really wrote this book to showcase stories of people that are not homeless, that have gone through struggles, that if you really look at the stories, you're like, wow, okay, this person could have wound up homeless if they hadn't had the circumstance. And then about 6 years ago, I got a street team in New York and we gave out meals to lots of homeless individuals in Manhattan. And then we got their stories of how they wound up on the streets. And when he compared the story of the 47 influencers that came on board to book as ambassadors and the homeless individual, it's such similarities in the struggle, but again, the circumstance separates the two. And that's why the name of the book is It Can Be You. And I couldn't have done the book without the help of Susan Rockefeller, who heard about my mission with the book, liked it, and then helped me get it published, like, you know, helped me. Gave me the circumstances to do that. And then I also partnered with Maria Cuomo, who's also an incredible woman. I got the chance to meet her personally 2 days ago, and I was like, she's one of the most just incredible person, really, really incredible. And she runs Help USA with her brother, who was Governor Cuomo. It was the governor, and I was, yeah. So they run it together. And Help USA, they help homeless families, and they really do a lot of work with the money that they take in. Not only do they help the homeless families, but they also build, you know, housing for them and things like that. So it's super cool. So yeah, I'm super excited for this book, and it's on Amazon if anybody wants to purchase.
So what was the impetus for it? How did you decide to say this is something that you wanted to dedicate a portion of your life to uncover?
guys, I mean, I think I live my life for people. I just genuinely love people. Like, I could do this all day, like speak to people like you. It's just, I love it. So that's one. I just love people and I love all people. It doesn't matter who it is. And then two, because I've been through so many moments in my life where I definitely was like, crap, what did I do? Like, rent is due. I don't have it in my account. I had family to back me out of it. Or like, you know, I started a business and money is going out, nothing is coming in. Like, we're 3 months behind in rent. What do? Family to back us out of it. But like, when I look at all these situations that I've gone through personally, you know, and I think, have it not be for family, what would I do? Like, what would I do? And I'm somebody, I'm not saying that like, I'm so great at like figuring things out, but I'm very good at selling and I'm very, I'm street smart, let's say. So like, if I'm in a really bad situation, I know how to get out of it in like an hour. I can figure it out. I can get myself back up. Like, I'm not someone that will, but there are people that they don't have that mindset. So like, when they're really down in the dumps, they just stay down there. If they don't have family, they don't have support. They don't have that, like, that drive to get back up by themselves. It's hard to do. It's not easy. So I think because of my own circumstances that I've gone through, you know, I just empathize a lot. And I think other people should also kind of step back and think, everyone has had a time in their lives where they struggled with something. Otherwise, you're not living. So, you know, yeah, just trying to get people to open up their eyes a little and their hearts, of course.
It's interesting that theme of self-reflection is definitely also how you framed it when you were talking about what you were trying to bring to the fashion industry, is this notion of introspection, right? Even as an industry in general, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? And you're also talking about how so much of the privilege that we have is circumstantial, you know, like somebody else in your life can step in and help you out of a situation that for other people, they don't have that opportunity available to them. And when you think about luxury fashion, that's like the epitome of that sense of excess and of demonstrative wealth. I wonder sort of like, how do you bridge that gap between wanting to sort of be a voice for the most empathetic and perhaps people that don't have that privilege of working with some of the brands that embody the most excess and privilege that we have?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was talking to someone recently. It was somebody that was like very high stature, and I was like nervous about speaking with that person because I was like, can I bring something to the table, blah, blah, blah. And then my husband, actually, who's my business partner, looked at me and he said something that was super cool, and I'm always going to remember it now. But he was like, next time you're intimidated to speak to somebody because you think they're not, like, they're higher than, they're not going to think like as much of you as they think of themselves, just look at them and imagine them in the bathroom, like taking a SHIT. And the minute you imagine that, he's
really taking that next level to look at the audience and imagine them naked. And he's like, no, like, no, let's go to one step farther.
Because, but if you think about it, you're about to approach like Beyonce and you imagine her doing that, all of a sudden you're like, okay, I could talk to her. Everybody, it's like,
we're all humans at the end of the day. That's sort of like,
we are. I mean, what's different? The difference is what somebody accomplishes that the other person maybe doesn't. But in terms of like person, we're all exactly the same. Like, we all get colds. We all like cry. We all laugh. We all go to the bathroom. Like, we're all the same, right? So I think what I always try to do is, and that's why I think like I bring everything that I do into just one space. So even like, you know, when we're dealing with like luxury brands, you know, we're always, you know, pushing to them exactly like I'm talking to you. I speak to the luxury brands and I would speak to someone who's homeless if I sit with them on the streets. I kind of bring it all together and I kind of like bring that vision to everyone that I speak to. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to explain that. Mm-hmm. I just think it's all the same. We're all in the same like circle of life. It sounds super cheesy, but it's true, you know, like, I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, listen, it's also definitely a journey, right? Like, I'm sure that all of this is in evolution. This whole idea of fashion innovation didn't exist 3 years ago. And now you've already built it into something that has a global footprint. I'd be curious, where do you see where do you see this going in the next 5 or 10 years? And how do you see your work helping to reshape the fashion industry to become a champion for sustainability, not in terms of only what it says, but how it's actually impacting the world?
So for one, we're definitely going to keep doing these partnerships like we did with, like we're going to do with COP15, like we did with Saudi Arabia last year, like really bringing every part of the world and every different industry within the fashion industry to really create this conglomerate that everybody can help each other in terms of the answer to solution. Definitely our goal is to be the biggest global innovation platform for fashion in the world. That's our goal. Like, that's what we're aiming for. And in about 10 days, I could say this year, you'll be the first to know, but we're finally launching a solution provider directory on our platform. So pretty much anybody who's in fashion and they're like, I'm looking for a technology that can do this exact thing within my supply chain, we'll be able to go to our directory. It'll be categorized based on pain points. They'll be able to click on a button and find the exact technology that will help them with that, whatever it is that they're so having. And I'm surprised that to this day, with how important technology is to adapt sustainability into a supply chain, that no one has created this directory yet. I'm really surprised because there isn't a place, like if you go to any platform and they're all super respectable, but you want to look for a specific technology that can help you in whatever it is that you're facing within your business, you really have to search. You have to search and you have to read and you have to, but there isn't a place that you could just be like, okay, this tech company, bio, what does it mean for the fashion industry? Here are the links, connect with them directly, almost like a matchmaking portal in that sense. And I think that's necessary. Technology is necessary. For what it is that we need sustainability wise in the industry. So we're really excited about that. So that will be launched in the next week to 10 days.
Okay. Well, I think by the time this comes out, that will have been launched. So yeah. You can check that out at fashioninnovation.com. I got to ask you one more question. There's this law passing, or there's law making its way through the legislature in New York called the Fashion Act. Is that something you're familiar with?
I'm a little bit familiar with it. Not too much. So if you have a question on it, you can ask me, but I'm not sure. I never like to speak about something that I'm not fully immersed.
Okay. Me neither. I was hoping that you could teach me about it. I know in broad strokes, it's going to mandate a higher threshold for supply chain transparency, carbon accounting, and many, many things for the biggest brands to be more transparent about their overall impact in the world. And I just wonder about how that plays into this idea of innovation, where are we at the point yet where innovation and sustainability are becoming more intertwined, where like it's less about making things as much as possible, making them better? Or is the industry still struggling to adopt? Is there still a conflict between being more environmentally conscious and driving towards the bottom line, making profits as much as you can?
I don't think we're there yet, because I think the bottom line, like the profit part, still like kind of, still trumps like the sustainability aspect of the brands. I think they're trying to figure out how they can kind of get that in a medium playing field to be able to really invest in being sustainable and doing more in that space. The Fashion Act thing, I think it's super cool if they can make it happen. I just think that, it's hard for me to answer these questions because I have so many conversations with like the really big brands where they're really not doing anything. I spoke to someone recently that they own 5 major brands in the industry, 5 major retailers, and they were like, we've never done anything towards sustainability and we want to just start. They're like, where do we start? That was literally the question. So, but again, their fear is that they are kind of like, they're not fast fashion particularly, but they're like borderline there. And they have many stores like, around the US. So I don't know. It's something that, again, I see a lot of initiatives. I see a lot of things coming out. I see that some brands have already been like the champions behind those initiatives. But I think we have a long way to go. And it's scary to think that because, again, we don't have that much time. Right. But I think, and I don't know if I can, so I'll say this. I had a conversation recently with a big organization. I can't say who, but it's an organization that really makes change happen. And they actually said, look, we want to do this panel. We want you to bring the speakers, but we want the speakers to agree that if they speak, that they all have to get into like a conglomerate. And in 18 months, they have to come back and they have to show us what actions were taken and what the results of those actions were. We don't just want them to speak, but we want them to do that in 18 months. If they agree to that, they can speak. If not, we don't want them. So that was cool. I actually was like, you know what? That makes sense because, again, we see a lot of great events. And even with our own events, now we're trying to see, like, how can we really get people to start like taking action so we can not just be like, you know, just beautiful speakers and big names, but where is it going? Where is all this talking? It's just talking, you know? So right. I don't know. I just went totally around in your question again, but it's a hard conversation. Like the questions you ask, they're really important, but it's hard to answer in just a simple answer because it's not
simple. You know? That's okay. We're all about complexity and nuance. Like there's not going to be one. Yeah, there's no one silver bullet to trying to change the course of human history. It takes all of us doing all of the things simultaneously. And hopefully through this human effort of humanity, there's a catalytic change. And we haven't seen that yet, but that doesn't mean we can stop trying. Yeah. We have to keep pushing in every way that we can.
Yeah, totally. With work like you're doing with your company, I mean, you're doing amazing things. So I think more people like you and, you know, just it's a collaborative thing.
It is. That's my favorite part about the sustainability world is that there's definitely this all boats rise mentality. Otherwise, like we're all going to sink because sea levels will all rise above everything. So, you know, there's definitely that sense of we must do this together. It's perhaps one of the first things that is truly uniting across all of humanity, because it's just all of our homes here. Of course, we come at it from different elements of privilege and availability to affect change and make personal choices, but it all matters, you know? And so there's those two things, the sense of like urgency where we need to do as much as we can, as quickly as we can without making it diminutive about the little things that we can each do. You know, like there still is that value in the incremental change of humans changing the way that they think about and comport themselves in the world.
Really, 100%, agree.
Verona, thank you so much for coming on board today and sharing with us like the story and the vision and where it's going. We'll definitely be following your work. I'm a big fan, here to champion it.
Same with you. And thank you for having me, it was fun.